flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Like I'm scared as a dog, but I've got a new song and I want y'all to sing along.
Okay, everybody, welcome back.
Sing along.
Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM.
People don't realize how talented Andre 2000 is.
Didn't he do an entire album via flute?
Yes, but you robbed him of 1,000, Leroy. It's 3,000.
3,000. Screw that up. But people don't realize how talented he is. You know, when they did the Out of Wild, he did all the piano stuff.
So good. My favorite. My actual favorite.
That's your actual favorite?
Yep. Andre Benjamin and Antoine Patton.
No, based on how much you kiss Drake.
Whoa, okay. Oh, no need. No need.
Wow. Man. Let's get to a little bit of Road to Repeat here, brought to us by our friends over at Celsius. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. There's going to be a couple quiet days here for your Cats. They're actually not even practicing today. Was told by the Panthers having a mandated day off today. Just long road trip. They've been on the road like crazy, so just relax, get your body right. They got the Kings tomorrow in their barn. They'll have another back-to-back in their building on Saturday and Sunday, Leroy.
It's crazy that they have morning skate.
Oh yeah.
And then play at night.
Oh yeah.
Could you imagine if we did that in football?
I don't know.
We don't even do a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm. But they'll be back in action. David Dwork points out our guy on the Hockey News. Go follow his work there. Cats got 10 of their next 13 at Amerant Bank Arena. So they get to be home a little bit. They got that Four Nations Cup. So hopefully, you know, Paul Maurice has been very vocal about how annoying their grind has been. Their travel schedule has been. Paul's big on travel. He's like, this is, you know, he'll lay it out there if he thinks the travel's ridiculous. And, you know, hopefully this will give the Cats a chance to get a little bit fresh as they've been, you know, kind of up and down. It's been a little bit up and down, but no worries right yet. No worries right yet for the champs. They're still in a good spot. Still in a good spot. So that is your road to repeat. Meanwhile, your Miami Heat, they will be back in action on Wednesday. No practice today. Obviously, get a nice little off day after all of the stuff that went down, all the theatrics that went down as I was going to the arena yesterday. Boots on the ground. As soon as I got to the parking garage, Leroy, Shams bomb, boop, and Jimmy Butler suspended yet again for this time services not rendered, which is a higher penalty. It's a higher penalty. That's a cool $500,000 per game, not this $300,000 nonsense for conduct detrimental. But apparently the word was they were having morning shoot around and Jimmy Butler was told that, hey, you're not starting. Haywood Highsmith starting. And apparently he did not take too kindly to that. And walked out.
He wants to sabotage the team.
I guess so.
That right there, pretty much says all you need to know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's disappointing because he's too good of a player, right, for his tenure here to be remembered by the fact that they wouldn't extend you and pay you for 2 years from now, so you pouted and didn't play now.
Right.
And he will say, oh, I was playing hard. Nope, stop.
No.
Dude, we've watched you for 5 years. We know when Jimmy Butler is engaged what it looks like.
We had yet to open Christmas gifts before the last time we've seen Jimmy Butler play hard in a basketball game.
Right.
It's been a long time.
But we had this conversation beforehand. You said they got to start him, and I'm like,
Well, my whole thing was, and listen, I'll give credit to the Heat on this. Like, they're not letting him just get to be on vacation. Like, they're going to try and take his money because they are pissed about this. And so props to Mickey and Pat on the idea of they're not going to let it feel like, I don't know what's going to hold up and all that, but they're not just going to let him have, I guess, the easy way out. And from my standpoint, yeah, I thought like if he's going to be there, you're really going to not, I was skeptical of it, but I think Spo, I think one of the underrated parts is, yes, Spo's sick of this dude. And Spo is tired of dealing with this as well. And I think he's tired of his team getting yo-yoed back and forth.
Because think about this. You can't. Okay, first of all, you start him. You call a timeout. What are you going to do as far as coaching?
Yeah.
It's like.
Okay, cool.
Right. Like, so and again, Spo's words, not mine. He talks about how everybody earns it. Now, you got 14 other guys on the team looking at this one guy and going, oh, you giving me a hard time?
Right.
He ain't earning it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that becomes a problem. You might lose some more guys.
Especially with, I think, two young guys in Kalel who you're trying to, you know, put in that mold of you know, guy in the organization, one of the guys you're, and a guy like Nico who, look, does have a very good relationship with Jimmy. You know, and you read the quotes from him, and it's a little bit heartbreaking because you can tell, like, he genuinely cares about Jimmy. He knows that Jimmy's done right by him in a lot of ways, but also this is a very important year in his career.
So think about this. I make you Nico, right? And you truly are, you know, admire Jimmy and what he's done for you or whatever. And then you feel like he's sabotaging what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
How do you, like, at some point, it becomes difficult for everybody, regardless of how you feel, what you feel towards that person.
Nico, right? Nico said yesterday in, this is from the Miami Herald on this, he said, it wasn't a crazy scene on when Jimmy Butler left practice. I wouldn't say that we were shocked. It's not easy for him. First of all, he's my friend and teammate. It's the business of basketball. He understands it. Everybody else understands this. Nobody is happy about how it turned out this way, but he's still my friend. He's still one of the best players in the world. We hope to see him back on the court. I guess he has a right to be unhappy. He's been a leader of this team for a while now.
He doesn't have a right to be unhappy.
It's his guy. He doesn't want to.
No, I understand that. He does not have a right to be unhappy that a team won't pay you 2 years from now. He does not. Because right now they're paying you $50 million a year.
I suppose he has a right to be unhappy. He doesn't have a right to not do his job.
Right. Okay, that'll clarify it.
Yeah. You can be disgruntled, but here's the thing.
If he had been disgruntled at the start of the season, would this already be done?
Maybe.
Instead of saying, I'm just going to go out and hoop.
Yeah.
Now, we should have known something was up when he came in at the last second.
You're right.
We should have known.
Of course.
But we ignored it because it's Jimmy.
Of course.
Right? Because you know, if he's engaged, we're going to get some kind of show. Some hair, we're going to get some kind of show.
There was also that weird thing, too. Like, you remember when Will Manso tweeted out, during Bama's press conference, there was a voice in the background that said, I'm here. And we all thought it was Jimmy Butler. Like, what if he did show up to Media Day in an outfit and they just sent his ass home and said, no, not this time? I don't know. Everything's a conspiracy to me now.
But it's not even a conspiracy. But here's what you do. When you get to the end of a situation, it's okay to look back and say, how did we get here?
Right.
Right? And the one thing that I would say that threw everybody off was Jimmy's words. If Jimmy would have said what he said a month, like 3 weeks ago, that I'm not going to be happy here, right, for whatever reason. If he had said that before the season, everybody could have planned accordingly.
Yeah, and he was probably playing his best before the OKC ankle sickness. Was probably playing his best of the season.
He twisted his ankle and got the bubble guts.
This was Bam after the game about dealing with all the distractions.
This past year, well, this year. So, I mean, it just shows that through all the noise, through all the chaos, we can still win. We can still come together and be a great team and you know, believe in one another and still go out there and compete. Because at the end of the day, like I said before, the game still got to get played. No matter what's going on in the organization, we still got to play games and they still expect us to win.
Hey, Khalil's got the sniffles.
I mean,
there's a lot of illness
going on. He's up there in that thin air.
God. Oh man. All right, we'll take it.
It's funny though, because you see him run down the court, he runs back and forth. It don't mean he's not hustling, but he's not rushing nowhere.
Heywood Highsmith is from Barry Jackson on Jimmy Butler leaving. Quote, I didn't really notice.
They're all trying to downplay it.
Because, you know, the reports that came out said that he walked out. And I think the first thing I saw from Barry tweeting is he heard that he left angrily. But all the players, yeah, they are downplaying it. Yeah. He says, obviously he wants to start. He wants to play. I try and stay in my lane and play, do what I've got to do. I quiet all the outside stuff. As long as you know how to do that, it's not really disruptive. That's Heywood Highsmith. So
a guy like him. Because he's thinking, more time for me.
More time for me, baby. All right, we'll take a break here on the show. Hour two are coming on up. And there is more Jimmy Butler trade fodder as well that we'll get into. So we'll take a break back after this.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Very interesting time to be a Miami Heat fan. Because it's just a constant flow of news. It's all over, you know, sports television, sports radio, and social media. But it really is. I'm watching Shams right now on SportsCenter. Shams, Heat talking to multiple teams, including Suns and Warriors. Seems Solana sent us something from Brian Windhorst on ESPN that I thought was super interesting, where he said, you know what? This is what we talked about. This yeah. is, you know, you ever watch those nature shows where those rams that are just, I mean, it looks like neither ram can, like they're just bashing their horns together and it's yep. making these loud cracking noises. But you can't imagine that one side is going to beat the other one because, well, they're rams and they don't know anything other than to just keep bashing their horns against each other.
Hey,
and
Ram.
That's what Jimmy and Pat are doing right now. But Windhorst was saying what we were saying yesterday, you know, which is both these guys are used to getting their way. And neither one of them is interested in backing down at this point. So I find the entire thing, again, from a content perspective, it's great. Amazing. And I do think I said this yesterday, but I really do think this. And I can still love Jimmy Butler and I can love the Jimmy Butler era, just think he's going out small here. But I really take some perverse pride in the Miami Heat and Pat Riley being able to go toe-to-toe with a superstar athlete and not cave. Mm-hmm. I just, there's, you know, you do invest, we goof with it, but you invest as a Heat fan, you buy into, you invest in Heat culture and Heat DNA. And, you know, there's a reason why I believe Zion Williamson could be fixed by the Miami Heat. That's not unwarranted. Yeah. Like, that's a legit thought because they've done it with players before. And it's part of what I think makes it fun being a Heat fan. And so I've had this perverse pleasure over the last couple of weeks of the Heat saying, yeah. I don't know who you're used to dealing with, Minnesota or Chicago. Like, I don't know what you think you can accomplish by your actions because we ain't them. And I really have enjoyed that. Being a Heat fan, I've enjoyed Pat Riley and the Heat and even Spo doing what Spo does, which is, yeah, I mean, this stuff isn't easy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like so matter of fact for them. Like, hey, there's nothing you can throw in our way that's going to create a distraction for us. Doesn't mean we're going to win every game. Doesn't mean we're going to win every title. You know, doesn't mean we're going to win every big matchup. But there has been something fun, I think, for Heat fans who buy into Heat culture and Heat DNA that the past few weeks has shown. Like, yeah, you bought into it. And you did with good reason. It was legit because we got your back, Heat Nation. That's the way it feels to me.
It is that way. And Pat Riley drives to work every day and plays They Not Like Us from Kendrick Lamar. It's like, yeah, we know what you did in the past. We know how you are, but you do what you want to. We're the damn Miami Heat. I'm with you. I'm right there with you 100%. Like I said this whole time, I'm supposed to take the athlete side on things because I'm an ex-athlete. It's not. No, Jimmy, you want to have a little I keep calling it a temper tantrum. Get on the floor in the mall and scream and yell. I'm going to stare at you. You're going to get up and get back in this car sooner or later. Or if not, well, I'll leave you. Okay, get him. Take him. Who? Anybody want this four-year-old? You can have him. I love the established, the Heat culture. I just love the strength of the Heat. That culture thing is funny. I just love the strength of Pat Riley and the Heat. And to the point we've talked about, we're not searching for a job. Like Jimmy put out the thing with Tommy from Martin yesterday. You ain't got no damn job. We have jobs. We employ a lot of people. You don't want to be a part of this company? No problem. It's okay. We'll send you home. And somebody else, I think it was Wendy, that same thing when he was like, he probably will pay him just to go away and won't do anything other than give him his. We'd rather give you $40 million than let you decide what we want to do with you. It's just, I know they call him, you know, the godfather and all that stuff with Pat. It is a mafia move of nope, we're good. Thanks. Whatever
it
you
is.
Need, whatever you need, you do what you want. And that's why I love Pat
thing,
Riley.
It feels that way. And it really does. You know, a lot of times you put your faith, whether it's into a business or sports franchise, you know, you try to buy what they're selling. They're always selling you something. And a lot of times you buy it and then you get the rug pulled, and you buy in again, and you get the rug pulled. Happens with the Marlins all the time. I would submit to you watching this Jimmy Butler stuff play out, because again, I'm not saying that they've, you know, proceeded flawlessly. I think they've made some mistakes along the way, but bottom line is they didn't pull the rug out. They said, you believe in Heat culture? We're showing you what it is. Like, either you're with us or you're not. You're not going to dictate the terms, though, which I love. But I will tell you, through the last 3-4 weeks of this, I can point, because I can always point at the Marlins for what I think is always doing the wrong thing, you know, saying one thing, doing another. But I can point at the Panthers and say, that is an organization, a local organization, also on the rise in my eyes, because they really have spent a lot of money, done their due diligence in keeping players who needed to be kept and allowing players to leave who probably you could allow to leave. Like, I think you've got right now two franchises in South Florida, the Heat and the Panthers, who are probably head and shoulders above the rest. I think the Dolphins are probably closer behind than a lot of others do. But I would say Heat, Panthers, then you got the Dolphins, then you got the Marlins pulling up the proverbial rear.
What was the Panther? Huberdeau.
I mean, I'll go back to that, you know, a million times over. I mean, it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
That's the thing. When it happened, we were like, damn, man, there's Huberdeau. Okay. Oh, we just won a Stanley Cup, huh? Well, never mind Huberdeau. We're good to go. It sells making tough decisions. And some, I think, with Joe Rose, it was a Geltziler, was on with Joe Rose, and he was talking about, like, did this thing this summer, like we're saying, calling out Jimmy in the media, like, was that the start of this? And Geltzy was kind of like, he called Shaq fat in the end of the year press conference. And that's Shaquille O'Neal. He was like, he's fat. Like, Pat's going to give it to you blood raw, and if you don't like it, you have thin skin, you might not want to be a Miami Heat participant. And this, and it's working out that way. Jimmy's not
which is the weirdest thing, because he was supposed to have the thickest skin of anyone who's ever donned the Heat culture cape.
He is a millennial social media child. That's why I keep calling it temper tantrum. This is what Jimmy's doing. It's not helping anyone out. It's making him look small. It's not helping the organization. It's not helping the look of him. It's not helping. There's no way. Do you think, honestly, NBA players that, you know, respect Jimmy, know Jimmy, do you think they're sitting at home watching this play out saying, oh, there you go. You got him, Jimbo. There you go, Jimbo. Hey, you're teaching him a lesson. No. Jimmy, what the hell are you doing? Get your dumb ass out there and play basketball. What are you having temper tantrums for, walking out of practice? Go play ball. Go get your bread. Like, this is what we do. We play ball. It's not at an athlete-to-athlete level. It looks ridiculous. Organization athlete looks dumb. And to your point, Hawk, I think from a city organizational standpoint, the connection, people are looking at Jimmy Butler crazy right now. I know I am.
Now, on the negative side, Haywood Highsmith cost me a 3-leg parlay last night.
When you replace Jimmy, you got to replace him more than Haywood.
I blame Spo, though, to be quite honest. Give the guy a couple minutes. I mean, you're going to double overtime. Give the guy a couple minutes back in the game. He's your starter. I mean, you can't give him a minute in one of the two overtimes, score a bucket. I parlayed last night. I had Jovic over 10.5 points. He went over. I had Duncan over 2.5 made threes. He went over. And I had Haywood Highsmith over 5.5 points. He ended with 4. I needed one more bucket from Haywood Highsmith. Was unable to get it. Heat got the dub last night. I saw Anthony Chang from the Miami Herald tweet out, Jimmy Butler is still on the Heat's roster, but the post-Butler era has already seemingly begun for the Heat. And so far, one thing has become clear in Butler's absence. The Heat plans to play bigger. The results have been encouraging so far. So there is a lot of stuff. The Jimmy Butler is obviously the focus, but the team without Jimmy Butler is what the conversation's going to be a few days from now. So get all the Jimmy Butler stuff out of your system, but start watching what Spo and the Heat are doing, because Anthony Chang points out what they're doing.
Hey, Hawk, quickly. So you blame Spo for messing up your parlay, but you don't blame the guy that scored 1 point a quarter?
Give him some minutes.
Spo needed that. He needed that 1 point in overtime because the guy was averaging 1 point a quarter.
By the end of the game, we realized how many minutes it was going to take to get him that next bucket. Give him a couple minutes, Spo. You're running your players right into the ground. It's a Monday night game against Orlando. What are we doing? Highsmith's got legs, fresh legs. What are we doing here?
Fred, he's averaging 1 point per 12 minutes. Overtime's 5 minutes. I can't bet on this guy's 1 point.
We have a pair of tickets that were given away to see Morgan Wallen with special guests Miranda Lambert, Brooks and Dunn, others at Hard Rock Stadium in July. The word today, we give you a different code word every day. The word today is hard. So text the word hard, but text it to the right person. Don't mistakenly text hard to the wrong person. Text hard to 20357. That's 20357. Or text it to the wrong person and say, whoops, got it wrong. Just see what the reaction is. You never know. Just shoot your shot. Text the word hard to 20357, and you're entered in the contest. If you need more info, go to WQAM.com. It is a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. It's a great lineup. If you like country music, text the word hard to 20357. Mike Cuno is going to join us today. Talk about it Tuesday today. We will obviously monitor anything going on with Jimmy Butler. We'll keep our eyes peeled on Shams and Ira and Anthony Chang and everyone else. Begin today's show with headlines and Alejandro Solana, who was at the Kaseya Center last night. Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Let's just say, leaving the Kaseya Center, I could have texted a couple people hard after that game.
Tell you what, they showed some metal last night. They really did, because they were down. They made a nice comeback. Then it got a little dicey. They showed some metal.
That damn Bam learned where the goal was. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm. Keep it up.
I hope he can keep that up.
Yeah.
They beat the Magic 125-119 last night. Yeah, they're down 14 in the fourth, 12 with 6 minutes to go. And then that lineup of Duncan, Tyler, Nico, Ware, and Bam Adebayo go on an 11-0 run, sparked by Duncan, by the way. They force overtime. In overtime, they're down six with a minute and change, and they come back, they force a double overtime, and then Bam takes over, outscores the Magic himself and the Heat. Not only do they win the game.
It's got players whose legs are tired at that point. You go to Haywood for a couple of minutes just to spell a couple of the players. I mean, Spo, I mean, he's sitting there. He's ready. He's ready to roll. It just seemed like a coaching faux pas to me.
To get one.
Yeah, yeah. Get him in there. Get one. Everybody gets a little rest.
Haywood, go get your 1 point.
What did he shoot last night?
Two of three. You know? Yeah, two of three, 4 points. Which makes it even funnier.
That one miss was a good look, too.
Wide open from the top of the key.
Yeah.
No joke, though. Yesterday was an important win. The Heat, they were down in the season series to the Magic, 2-1. The Magic were a half game ahead of Miami in the standings. So not only do the Heat get above 500, they split the season series with the Magic, and they jump them in the standings as of today. Now they're a half game ahead of Orlando, and if you're just looking at the seedings, I know there's still a lot of time left, but
There's six, aren't they?
The Heat are the sixth seed as of today, and they're only a game above 500.
Yeah. That's impressive. To withstand the hoo-ha with Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler, how many games has he missed total?
20?
Yeah, I mean, to miss all those games from Jimmy Butler, to go through the hoo-ha that they've gone through, to have a West Coast road trip mixed into all that, and be the sixth seed right now in the East, pretty damn impressive.
They're 10-10 without Jimmy Butler.
My man Spo be coaching now.
He can coach.
Spo can go.
They're 10-10 without Jimmy Butler, which means they're 13-12 with him. Like, I mean, they're 500 either way. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
He's a bum.
Guy's always been a bum.
$48 million bum.
Heywood Highsmith will give you a quarter of the production for an eighth of the money.
I mean, listen, Heywood Highsmith, great nickname, the locksmith. What's Jimmy Butler's nickname?
Is that his nickname?
Yeah.
The locksmith? The locksmith. That is a good nickname.
Buckets.
Playoff Jimmy. Oh, you got to wait till April, huh, until you turn it on? Okay. The four seed through
Should
the
call
nine
him
seed.
Coffee break. I don't know.
Huh?
Doesn't play a latte.
I like that one.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. It's time to talk to our guy from the Locked On Heat podcast, Wes Goldberg, going to join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop hundreds of Toyotas each way. Oh, hello, Wes. Good to have you on, buddy.
Are you exhausted? What's going on, guys?
Wes, are you exhausted?
I am so tired. That's I was just sitting here daydreaming about a nap, dude.
I just want to take a nap.
Here's the worst part. Here's the worst part. Can you honestly explain, with all this stuff going on, why you're exhausted? You're just exhausted because you're tired of this, right?
Yeah, I'm tired of this, and it's first world problems, too, where you're just always like checking Twitter. Is something else breaking? I've been on the trade machine. I feel like the trade machine owes me money at this point.
Yeah.
So long. It's definitely first world problems. This is not hard labor. This is just trying to come up with trade ideas and monitor the trade situation and talk and report and do all these things. But it's just like a lot of mental stuff, yeah. Right? Because every day it just feels like it's something different and you kind of have to wrap your head around it.
Well, let's get your head wrapped around it, because I guess there's some kind of new twist to all trade fodders. And by the way, Wes joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. So yesterday it was reported that I guess the Kings and De'Aaron Fox's camp are now open to business on all this type of stuff. And, you know, the first preferred destination is apparently San Antonio, because he wants to go team up with Wemby. But obviously his relationship with Bam Adebayo is going to get Heat fans in a little bit of a tizzy. Hold on. First off, do you see any scenario where this Jimmy Butler drama could be weaved into the De'Aaron Fox whole sideshow that's now going on? Or does this have to, even if he wanted to get into the game, this has to be its own separate entity?
Well, if there is a scenario in which the Jimmy Butler thing can kind of be layered onto this whole De'Aaron Fox situation, Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg are the people to figure that out, right? They have relationships across the NBA. They have worked with almost every front office in every capacity in some way, shape, or form over the last decade. And so they are sort of, I kind of always joke, like, somebody has to tell Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg that you're allowed to do one for like one team trades or two team trades. Like, every trade they do is always like multiple teams for the most part. So they're the experts at this. If you're the Heat, you've got to call and you've got to ask, like, all right, look, maybe we can get this stuff for Jimmy Butler and then send this stuff over to Sacramento combined with some of our own stuff to go ahead and get De'Aaron Fox. And then it just kind of becomes, all right, does De'Aaron Fox expand his list of preferred destinations? The way that these things typically work with these star players is they kind of target one, and then that destination list tends to expand afterwards. I can't imagine that De'Aaron Fox would be bummed out about playing with Bam Adebayo in Miami. So if that were on the table, I think De'Aaron Fox would be happy to do it. That's just guessing. But the other big problem is, like, is San Antonio, we keep hearing that De'Aaron Fox wants to go there. Do they want to shake things up in that major of a way in the middle of a season, right? We don't know that. We haven't heard anything from the Spurs side of whether or not they even want De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox feels like he's young and fits the Victor Wembanyama timeline, but he's 6 years older than Victor Wembanyama. Is that really the guy
that
they look at as being the guy there? So there's still so many moving parts. I'm sure there's more surprises here, but to answer your question, Tobin, like, yes, the Heat, there's got to be a non-zero percent chance that the Heat can get involved and basically turn whatever this Jimmy Butler disaster is into lemonade. And if that ends up being De'Aaron Fox, and it'll probably be a little bit of a minor miracle, but it can't be impossible. I don't think we could say that.
Do you feel like De'Aaron Fox, let's put the Jimmy Butler aside, he moves on, they don't get that much except expires, whatever. The Heat, and now where they're going to be at as a franchise, is De'Aaron Fox good enough to be like, we'll give you Kalawe, we'll give you Nico, we'd switch out Tyler? Or is he a needle mover like that, where like you would consider up giving up major pieces of what I guess looks like your future now? Where do you think where he lies as a star in that regard to what to give up for him?
Yeah, that's a great question. Me personally, Tyler Hero would be untouchable, and Khalil Ware would actually be untouchable. Because if you're, the whole idea is you're moving Jimmy Butler. And what happens when you move Jimmy Butler? You need to identify your next star. And whether or not it's De'Aaron Fox in Miami or not, Bam Adebayo is the face of the franchise going forward. And whatever you have to do to make Bam's life easier, you've got to do. And the number one thing, as we just heard from Bam the other night, is play him at power forward, play him next to a 7-footer who could space the floor just like Khalil Ware. He, to me, is sort of central. This might sound crazy, but to me, like, he is untouchable unless you're getting something like Khalil Ware back. The Heat need that kind of prototype in order to maximize what it is that Bam can do. And with that being said, like, okay, if that's the model going forward, then you got to figure out what fits into that. But I don't think you can move Ware, and I don't think that you can move Tyler Hero. He's having an all-star caliber year. To me, you want his spacing. Like, De'Aaron Fox is a great offensive player. He is not a respected outside shooter. And so you need Tyler's spacing, maybe even more so, if you get De'Aaron Fox.
So he basically plays a similar game to Jimmy.
De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah.
I mean, he's more aggressive as a scorer and obviously not the defender, but in terms of, inside the three-point line, 100%. He's aggressive. He's got this great feel in the paint and all this stuff. I think he could be tremendously helpful. And for the record, if you add De'Aaron Fox to Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Khalil Ware and figure out whatever the rest of it is, I think that's a team that can compete for the Eastern Conference Finals every single year. And so I would go pretty far in what I would be willing to include. The distant first-round picks, the swaps, all that stuff, throw it in there. A couple of the young players, you probably have to throw that in there too.
Probably have to throw in Nico, though.
Jaime Jaquez is from California. You know, Nikola Jovic, I think, has value across the league. Like, these are all guys who have some value. I think it's worth at least exploring. But again, like, the key is we're losing Jimmy Butler. That would have to be the central part of the package. Can I get a couple of role players back and maybe a couple of draft picks back? And that's really the central part. And I'm just sort of adding stuff that I already have from the Heat to that package. Because if you're losing Jimmy Butler, I think if you're the Heat's front office, you got to say, well, we can't lose Jimmy Butler and then also include the rest of the future in order to get De'Aaron Fox. You're probably trying to find a middle ground there.
Wes, has Jimmy done just about everything possible to just diminish his value? And why would you do that?
You know, every time I feel like Jimmy Butler has run out of cards to play, he pulls another one out of his sleeve, right? And he's like, well, boom, I'm wearing Phoenix Suns colored shoes now. And you're just like, man, I didn't see that one coming. I respect the creativity. So I'll never say that he's run out of moves. I'll never say that he's found ways to completely diminish his trade value. But for the Heat suspending him indefinitely, they've essentially mitigated that risk as much as they possibly can. You know what you can't do? If you're suspended, wear different team's colors and dye your hair in a trolley way while you're on there. You know what you can't do while you're suspended? Walk into a press conference after an Indiana Pacers game and tell us that you can't find joy on the court anymore. Like, you can't do all these things if you're away from the team. You can't make the plane late because you're not even invited. Like, these are the things you can't do if you're suspended from the team. And so we'll see, right? I mean, he's still got his social media presence. I don't know how much the Heat care about that, but maybe other teams care about stuff that gets posted out there in terms of diminishing his trade value. But look, the Heat clearly have come to the realization that Jimmy Butler is not worth much anymore on the trade market. And, you know, you have Brian Windhorst saying on ESPN the other day, the Heat are going to trade him. It sounds like there's offers out there. It might just be at this point Miami picking the best of the worst offers that are out there.
Should the Heat have foreseen this?
Yes.
When they didn't extend him? And should they probably started this process sooner?
100%. As soon as they decided not to trade him or not to extend him, they should have been looking to trade him. And they reportedly got calls about Jimmy Butler and said, we're not interested in trading him. That to me was foolish and even naive. If this, I was saying on Locked On Heat, like once you decided not to extend him, just trade him. The window's closed. Like, I don't know how a front office, as much as we might have fallen in love with some of the runs over the years, 2023 and all this stuff, like the front office's job isn't to fall in love with those runs and live in nostalgia. It's to have a sober, ruthless look at this roster. And I don't know how you would look at this roster and be like, yeah, this team can compete with a Celtics team that just breezed through the Eastern Conference last year. The window was closed in the summer. And so just even that, let alone all the stuff that you know that Jimmy Butler is capable of doing and how uncomfortable he's capable of making teams in his history. Like, even besides all of that, as soon as you've decided we're not going to extend him because he's too old and we don't think he's worth it anymore, then why is he on the roster? You should have traded him back then. And they would have gotten a lot more probably had they traded him in July versus trading him now in January or February.
Isn't it? It's like the guy who meets a new girl and everybody tells her she's done this in all of her other relationships, and you go, she's not going to do that with me.
No, there was definitely an organizational arrogance there.
Right. He won't do that here. And I'm like, ha, silly humans. Like, Jimmy, go be Jimmy.
It is. And I think some of that, too, is a little overstated just because he's done it in past places that this was always going to happen. Like, you hear this all the time. Like, this always happens with Jimmy. He always leaves this way. This is more of a function of sort of the new salary cap and the economics of everything than it is anything else, right? Like, his problem in Chicago, like, he told Fred Hoiberg that he didn't like him to his face in Chicago. Like, that's not happening right now in Miami. You know, in Minnesota, he looked around that locker room and said, oh, you expect me to be a third wheel next to Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins? No way. And he didn't respect his teammates there. In Philadelphia, he openly bristled with the coaching staff there and bristled with some teammates there and wasn't long for Philadelphia. So this was like, had the Heat just given him the contract, and I'm not arguing that they should have. I've argued against it. I think they were right not to give him the contract extension. But had they just given him the extension, Jimmy Butler doesn't burn all these bridges, right? Like, this was literally just a situation where it came down to money, where all the other situations in the past were a lot of sort of other extracurriculars that were involved there, because Jimmy was always going to get paid. Now he's not going to get paid by Miami. He's probably not going to get paid by anybody the money that he thought he wanted to get or was going to get. But yeah, had it not been for the new salary cap and some of the limitations and all these things, maybe the Heat do just say screw it and just give him the extension and figure it out later. But it's way too punitive now to pay those guys kinds of top dollar. And I think that's really what it comes down to. But yeah, I'm at the end of the day, that stuff to me is all on the side, like the personality of this and everything. As soon as you decided you weren't extending Jimmy Butler, you should have been shopping him. That's what the Sacramento Kings are doing right now. As soon as it became clear,
right,
we're not going to get this guy on extension with De'Aaron Fox, you start shopping him. You'd rather be early than late on these things.
And Pat usually is, though.
Months late.
Pat usually is with that. I mean, think of how many stars that he's traded before they started that decline. And for some reason with Jimmy, I don't know if it's because they had the conversations or what Jimmy said when he was going to come into camp and whatever. Like, I don't know. Maybe he hit his blind spot, because this is not like Pat.
Well, I guess the argument against it, though, would have been the idea that if you did pay him and you had to satisfy Jimmy Butler, and knowing how Tyler's playing, and if everything else would have come along, the Khalil stuff, would this have been better in a situation? And that's kind of more on the whole, all right, did they handle the relationship right? Because if you have a satisfied Jimmy Butler, yeah, he's probably only got one more push in him to be that guy. And that's still probably a roll of the dice. And the Heat, I think we're in a spot where they're like, yeah, well, you know what? Maybe it is just done.
Can I do a counter to that? And I understand the whole situation, and I'm not saying I would have gave him the contract. From the Miami Heat's perspective, they did not know Tyler Hero was going to be this. This is covering up a lot of why they didn't get rid of Jimmy early. And so now we're looking at it with Tyler playing the way he is, and with Khalil coming in, and with Bam getting to play a four instead of playing center. Now we're looking at it like, why didn't we trade Jimmy? But at the start of this, nobody knew how these things were going to play out, and we're kind of playing the result with Jimmy now.
And I would even argue, had you gotten this year from Tyler Hero, gotten a rookie of the year type of season from Khalil Ware, gotten Bam to play the four, all these things that have happened, and you gotten engaged Jimmy Butler, I don't think this team is sniffing the Eastern Conference Finals. I really don't think that they would have been that good because, like, let's be real. Jimmy Butler hasn't been awesome since game two of the 2023 Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it's been a while since Jimmy Butler has been playoff Jimmy. What?
No, Leroy. He's like staring me down.
because he knows why.
What?
This is, you know what this reminds me of? Is like when Dan Marino retired and then immediately the Dolphins defense finally got good. And they just sort of missed each other by a year or two. That's sort of what this is, right? Like they just, Tyler Hero and some of these guys kind of blossoming here, they just missed each other by a couple of years and had all this stuff kind of come together at the right time. We might be talking about a championship banner hanging in Miami recently. So unfortunately, that didn't happen.
It was hard to ignore, though, like that win against Orlando. You know, finally they win a game like that because it felt like every one of those games has blown up in their face. But the emotions that everybody had, you know, Bam and Tyler specifically hugging each other, you know, because it's one thing to say, hey, the torch has passed over to you, but it is impossible to do that with Jimmy still in the locker room. It felt like a moment for him. Do you feel like this can be a catalyst for them? Again, not to say that they're contenders, but, you know, just to have this at ease now, do you feel like that could be a turning point or a pivot point for this team, or are we still going to do one step forward, two steps back? They'll end up, you know, meandering around 500 all year.
So, yes to both questions, like all the above. I think this team will probably end up being right around 500 and end up in the play-in tournament. But, like, that almost is less important to me than what it looks like in the vibes. Like, I that to me is more important for this team. What really struck me in that Magic win, and that was the first time that he had beaten a team over 500 this calendar year. It had been since like late December, the last time that this team beat a winning basketball team. But what really stuck out to me in that game was sort of the clarity that you were talking about. I think clarity is such an underrated aspect in the NBA. Knowing what the pecking order is, knowing what your mission is on a night-to-night basis. How are we going to play? What is it going to look like? Who's on the court with us? Having Jimmy Butler, suspending Jimmy Butler, keeping him away from the team, like the Heat had to quite literally play around him. Jaime Hacka is having to do dribble around Jimmy Butler to get to the basket for a layup because Jimmy's just parking himself in the paint. Like that was happening. Him not being on the court provides a little bit of that clarity, not just on the court, but in that locker room too. And then you saw, I think, in that game, Bam unleashed, being able to hold Paolo Banchero to 2 points where at center he would have been just kind of wasted, kind of just banging bodies with Wendell Carter Jr. He's able to hold Paolo to 2 points in the fourth quarter while Miami comes back from that 14-point deficit. And you got Bam also on offense facilitating for Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero kind of coming around those Khalil Ware screens on the other side, these like extended horn set that they're running all over and over again. In other words, you saw the identity of what this Heat team wants to look like and how it is that they want to play. And I honestly don't remember the last time we saw that so clear and so vividly. And that to me is the most important thing going forward is that clarity, knowing this is what our identity is now. This is how we're going to play without Jimmy Butler. And then knowing, all right, now if this is how we want to play and this is how we're going to empower our star player in Bam Adebayo and our other star player in Tyler Hero, what are the other pieces now? Because now we know what the shape of this is supposed to look like. What are the pieces that we have to fit in next to those guys?
Do you feel the Khalil Ware buzz right now? What are you feeling? This guy, very exciting, Wes. He's gone from a plus a gazillion to the favorite for rookie of the year. It feels like he's got eyeball popping plays every single game. Give me your most unreasonable thoughts with Khalil Ware right now.
I'm trying to think, like, what is this guy's ceiling, right? At the risk of hyperbole here, what's the prototype for a guy like Khalil Ware? Like, what's the best version of Khalil Ware? And I would say
Anthony Davis?
Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns is a good one. Like this version of Carl Anthony Towns, who plays physically with the Knicks, like that version of Carl Anthony Towns. Like these are, like Jaren Jackson Jr., these are perennial, yeah, like
he doesn't shoot.
Caliber.
He doesn't really shoot, right?
He shoots.
Jackson shoots.
Yeah.
These are the kind of guys that I think Ware could, like if he were to reach the highest heights of his ceiling, like that's the kind of player that he could be. And when you look at today's NBA, that's the kind of player a lot of these teams need. I'm just so excited for him and Bam together. Like,
yes.
Finally, getting this together. Bam said it. He said, like, we saw what it looks like in the Olympics. Yep. That's kind of a crazy thing to say.
It is Anthony Davis
that he was playing next to.
And it's also crazy, like, it's also crazy they were all there, and you know Bam's wanted this, and it is one of the things that is strange is this took Spo so long, right? Like, there definitely had to be an earn my trust being on my roster, but very clearly his star has wanted this for a while.
Yeah, and look, I will say I understand why Eric Spoelstra was as patient as he was, right? Just because Khalil Laird did what he did in Summer League, that doesn't really mean anything to me. Like, Summer League was fun, but doing this against guys who are not even in the G League, that doesn't mean much to me. And then at the beginning of the year, like, he got on the court a little bit. He was not very good. He was kind of lost defensively, was a non-factor on the boards. And even yesterday against the Magic, Khalil Ware gave up a rebound to the Magic, and Eric Spoelstra almost brought Haywood Highsmith into the game and then sort of decided against it in the last minute and motioned to Highsmith to go back to the bench and left Ware in the game. And that ended up being the right thing to do. But that was sort of that early hook that Ware was getting earlier in the season. So I don't know that Spo was supposed to do it early. I think it's really easy to just kind of see what the results are now and be like, well, this would have been the same results had he played him in game 20 as opposed to game 40. But you talk to everybody, like, behind the scenes, he's done a lot of work. They love his work ethic. They love the basketball IQ with him. They love all of it and the commitment to everything. But he was not this a month into the season versus where he is now. So I tend to, if we've all sort of agreed that the Miami Heat have the best developmental program in the league, mm-hmm. then I do tend to just sort of default to them and just say, yeah, they probably knew what they were doing.
But here's the problem. By not playing Kalo earlier, you're actually hindering two people's growth. Because now you got Bam not being able to do the things that he does best. And that's the whole problem that I had with it, is that Bam's a four. He was always going to be a four. He was a hard worker, so you put him at five. But he's a four. If he can play four, he's going to be at his best. Shouldn't it be more important for your stars to play in the positions where they are best and not have your best players playing positions of need?
No doubt about it. And I do think that if you're an NBA, like, if you're a front office coaching staff, you know, your job is to make your star player's life easier. And then the star player's job is to make the role player's life easier, right? Like, that's sort of the trickle down effect on things. And so, but he tried, right? Like, there's this idea that, like, Eric Spoelstra loves to go small. Every time he got a chance to try Kevin Love again next to Bam Adebayo, he tried it. It just didn't work. They brought back Thomas Bryant because they thought that maybe that could be a thing too. It just didn't work. They finally got to a point where they felt that Ware was comfortable. I understand what you're saying, Leroy, and I was there with you, man. I was like right before that Nuggets game, I was saying, this is the game. Here's where you play Ware and Bam together in order to guard Nikola Jokic. And then they didn't do it, and then a night later they do it against Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs, and they win that game. So maybe you could argue that Spo's a little late on this, but I do think that it's important to kind of make sure that Khalil Ware is capable of doing it and that you're not just throwing him into the deep end and ruining, you know, his confidence or anything like that. You got to make sure he's ready to go, or else, you know, like I said, Eric Spoelstra has tried doing this before, playing Bam at the four with another center, and it didn't work, and he's had to pull the plug on it.
Yeah, your center can't be Kevin Love. He's 47.
He's very tired, but he's on a hell of an Instagram heater right now. He is. Wes Goldberg from the Locked On Heat podcast. Him and David Meal do a fantastic job. Go watch him on YouTube and all your podcast platforms. Anything else you want to plug, Wes, before we get you out of here?
Locked On Heat, that's fine.
All right, there you go. He'll be boots on the ground tonight, I'm sure, for Heat and Kaz as we're on our way to Vegas. So we appreciate you stopping by, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wes.
Thank you, guys.
Take a break. Back after this.
The Miami Heat, they play tonight. True or false?
I don't know anymore.
They have the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, 7:30 p.m. Jimmy Butler, of course, suspended for the Heat.
He posted a video recently, last hour or so, on Instagram of his credit card being denied and the person saying, you have no job. He's leaning into it.
It's childish.
It's a little childish.
Do you think the organization is fond of Kevin Love and his new love for memes.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that. I can't imagine. I almost feel like Pat Riley wants to give the speech to Kevin Love that he gave to Jimmy Butler after last season, which is, hey, how about you lay off the commentary if you're not out on the court?
Yes.
You know, like what role has Kevin Love? Like, I don't know what this role is that he's kind of evolved into, Solana. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is that Kevin Love says all the right things when he's in front of cameras.
Yes.
I want to be in any role Spo needs me. If that's at the end of the bench as a 12th man, I'm that guy. If that's starting, I'm that guy. Like, he says all the right things. And, Hawk, I'm telling you, the other day against Orlando, the Heat, when they go down 14, they call timeout. First one off the bench to give everybody high fives, Kevin Love. Like, he's playing the Udonis Haslam captain role, veteran presence in the locker room, keeping everybody together. But then he goes on social media an hour after the game and he's tagging Jimmy Butler in like a meme that low-key is making fun of Pat Riley and the Miami Heat.
I happen to like Kevin Love a lot. I think he's been a really good addition to the Heat, and I do like his presence out there. But you said, are the Heat thrilled with what he's doing? And I can't imagine that they are.
No.
They weren't thrilled with Jimmy Butler commenting on things when he wasn't out there playing. How on earth can they be thrilled with Kevin Love turning this into, like, he's shining a spotlight on something that they want to go away?
Yeah.
Kevin Love is on his way out.
Yeah, he's just having
fun. He's just having fun. And Jimmy's his friend.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm going to mess with my friend, joke around my friend, but Kevin Love never plays again for the Heat. It doesn't change the record of the end of the season. Kevin Love? He looks about 50.
I know. I think he's younger than we think that he is, though.
He's 36.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy. He's lived a hard life.
Is he younger than Kevin Durant?
KD, because LeBron's 42, 41.
That's another new game that we could play. Is he younger than Kevin Durant? Or is he older than Kevin Love?
Hey, white dude, though.
They're the same age.
They're the same age?
Correct.
Huh.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, what'd you say, black don't crack? I don't know what I thought I heard Jimmy say.
Nah, I'm good. An extension is just, you know, a couple of dollars. I'm cool, I'm telling you. I think I've made enough. I just want to play basketball. I want to be available, like Pat was talking about. And I plan on being that. I plan on us winning a bunch of games and making everybody happy.
That was Jimmy Butler from training camp. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com, Joe.
I've made enough, man. Just a few extra bucks. No big deal. I heard what Pat Riley said, and we're going to go out and win more games. And all of a sudden, man, we got a big divorce just about ready to happen. Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA Radio, joins us. Geltzy, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, Joe. How you doing, pal?
Oh, boy. You know what we're in the middle of down here before this trade deadline. Geltzy, I'm sure everybody's talking about it. It's one of the lead stories. What's your take on what's going to happen here in the next week and change before the trade deadline?
You know, so there's obviously the way Butler is handling this is making it much harder for the Miami Heat to deal him. Yesterday being another just in a line of just, you know, just acts that are hostile, that are not making him attractive to other teams. Jimmy Butler has a player option for $52 million next year. Does anybody want to pay him, Matt, to play basketball and have to tolerate this stuff if you're not sure you want to give him an extension? Right now there's one team out there that would give him a contract extension, and it's the Phoenix Suns. And the Phoenix Suns have a huge problem, which is that essentially they have to get rid of the Bradley Beal contract to be able to bring in Butler. And Fred Katz of The Athletic broke this yesterday. Chicago's been looked as a potential third team because they have a chance now to actually move Zach LaVine. The thing is, Bradley Beal's not going to waive his no trade to go to Chicago. He gets to choose. He probably would waive it to go to Miami, but the Heat don't want him. And I don't blame the Heat. If I'm the Heat, I don't want him either. So if I'm the Heat here, so you have to realize something, Joe, and this is really important for your listeners to understand. Well, look at what the Clippers did with Paul George. They let Paul George go for nothing and then treated it almost as if it was a trade with the guys they used to sign with that cap space and get themselves out of tax hell and give themselves some more flexibility. Right. And you know what? It's kind of worked. They're in the top six in the East right now. I know they lost to Phoenix in the West. They lost to Phoenix last night. But they've played very well. They kind of have a different personality. The Heat understand that, you know, with the young core that they have, there's life beyond Jimmy Butler. But what they're not going to do is compromise their values and their principles of what this organization has been built on and how this organization's had so much success for Jimmy Butler. They wouldn't do it for LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. They're not going to do it for Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler doesn't care. And this is the one thing I've heard about Jimmy Butler, who the people that are advising him, he is not listening to. He's doing what he wants to do, when he wants to do, and unless you're giving him the positive reinforcement on his current activities, he's tuning you out. And that's kind of the place Jimmy Butler's put himself. He's really become very tone deaf to the perception to him around the league. And that's going to be an ongoing problem for a guy that's gone all in on a contract extension.
Brian, I got to tell you, his agent sounds like one of the biggest idiots of all time. He just sounds like, and here's my other thing, because a lot of people are going, oh, it's his agent. We're talking about a 35-year-old player who's pretty smart and understands exactly what's going on. He's telling his agent what to do. Don't you think? Or if that was
that
the case,
that is 100% correct.
Yeah,
that is 100% correct, Joe. Listen, Bernie Lee is a legit agent. Bernie Lee is a good agent. Bernie Lee has a job, which is to represent his player. Bernie Lee, whether he thinks in his heart that Jimmy is right or wrong, he will work for Jimmy and do everything he can in the way Jimmy wants him to, and he will back Jimmy publicly. So it's really easy to go blame his agent. This isn't his agent. I can promise you that. His agent's doing the job that he's paid to do. This is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler wants to do it this way. The agent didn't walk out when he wasn't starting yesterday. You know what? You haven't been there. The team's doing okay. Not great, but okay without you. And the coach is trying to go in a different direction because you have told him you don't want to be part of the program. The only thing for everybody is for Butler to come back and play basketball, but he doesn't get to dictate how he plays basketball. That's something Eric Spoelstra and the Miami organization do. They don't want to start him. They don't have to start him. And that's where this problem starts, is Jimmy Butler wants to act however he wants to act and expects the red carpet to be rolled out for him when he decides he wants to come play basketball. And the Heat don't work that way.
Hey, Brian, I got to ask you, the other part of this is going back to what Pat Riley said at the end of the year when he said, if you're not playing, shut up. I don't want to hear. Jimmy can't play in the playoffs. I want to hear what he says about the Celtics and the Knicks. And he needs to just shut up. And a lot of people thought, oh, man, Jimmy's going to be really upset. Pat shouldn't talk to a superstar that's done what he's done like that. And I'm like, that's Pat Riley. He ain't changing. He's got a resume. He says, I'm not changing. This is how I believe. You need to play more games. I don't want you playing 58, 59, 60 games a year.
Joe, I'm going to say this, okay? Jimmy Butler, as a basketball player, on a macro level, is not a pimple on Shaquille O'Neal's backside, okay? And Pat Riley would routinely speak publicly about Shaq being overweight.
Right. Yes.
That's all you need to know, okay? Pat Riley tells it as it is. And if you are thin-skinned and you can't handle it, it's your problem. This is, you know, Hyman Roth and the Godfather, Joe. This is the business that we chose. You came to the Heat with Heat culture and all of that, and you were going to embody that. Well, part of that is you don't just get to hold others accountable. They get to hold you accountable, too. And Jimmy Butler does very well when it's time to hold other guys accountable, calling out Brett Brown in a film session in Philly, the nonsense he pulled in Minnesota. We had Rachel Nichols waiting there for an interview. Okay, all of this stuff that Butler's told, and now this whole act, okay? This is all about Jimmy getting to hold other people accountable, right? Well, at a certain point in time, for his behavior, he should be held accountable too. But Jimmy doesn't necessarily have that introspection, the ability to look in the mirror and say, hey, you know, where did I go wrong? Butler doesn't do that. For Butler, he plays a victim. And the thing is, you're no victim here. And what's happened is he's a guy that people were questionable about anyway. And he's turned himself toxic. I mean, people were talking early on when he wanted out, what a great fit he'd be in Houston. You watch Houston go into Boston and beat the world champion Celtics last night. You want Jimmy Butler infecting those young guys with his craziness here in Houston? You do not. Butler, again, it's a one-team market for Butler. It's Phoenix, and unless Phoenix can figure something out, and by the way, they might, because what they did in that trade in getting those extra draft picks from Utah is they can actually pay somebody to take Bradley Beal, but Bradley Beal's got to be willing to go to that place. And maybe Miami does take Bradley Beal, but they take two first-round draft picks with him to be absorb that contract. Maybe that ends up being the answer. I don't know. But the reality is there's only one team in the league that's willing to give Jimmy Butler a contract extension right now. It's the Phoenix Suns, and it's probably the hardest team in the league to trade him to.
Yeah. Gelsey, you think something happens but before Thursday at 3 o'clock, next Thursday at 3 o'clock?
You know, I don't think something is likely to happen with Butler. I don't, just because I actually believe that Miami is not going to take a bath on him. Remember what I said about the Clippers and letting a contract expire. Okay, I could see a scenario where Butler doesn't get traded and doesn't play another game for the Miami Heat ever again. They decide just to send him home, potentially buy him out of the deal, right, and just let him try to go hook on somewhere and get a contract next year. Like, I think that could be possible, that they decide to part ways in some way. I don't think, listen, I think Jimmy opts into his $52 million next year, and that's part of a buyout deal, and he gets that money and is able to go sign on with somebody else and play with a contender. I see that being a more likely scenario, as crazy as that sounds, wow, for the Heat to eat all that money. Because you don't want, like, if you're Miami right now, he's not going to come and toe the line. He showed you that. You don't want him around. You don't want him there. No. It's more beneficial for the Heat. Think about this. As opposed to take on a bad contract like Bradley Beal, is to actually send him home with his money. Give him all his money and say, you know what? We're buying out of your contract. We're waiving you with your money. Go find a different place to play. We're out of it. And then that's it. And listen, they can negotiate with him. He wants to play so badly this year. Maybe he takes a discount. Maybe he opts out of his deal next year if he's going to be able to go somewhere and find a spot where he can get a contract extension. The problem is, if he runs to Phoenix, now you run into a cap problem with their ability to extend him, because if he comes in on a league minimum deal, which is really all they're going to be able to give him, they won't have bird rights to go turn around and give him the kind of money he wants next year. Boy. It's gotten messy and sloppy. It's best for Butler to get traded, and he's acting like a guy that thinks he's going to be traded, even though it's going to be really hard to trade him.
Kelsey, you talked about buying out a lot of money. If you're talking about that 52 next year, 53 next year, and still, what, a third of the season this year, that's a lot of friggin' money to eat, isn't it?
You're talking about 68 to 70 million. And will the Arisons do it? I don't think that they will, but I think right now, under this set of circumstances, Joe, and this is the most important thing, everything is on the table. Everything is on the table for the Heat, because this right now, what is happening with the Heat and Jimmy Butler is not sustainable. Listen, the thing about the Heat that hangs over their head here is that, okay, he's gone now. He's gone. It's fine. Indefinite suspension, minimum of 5 games. The guys can go play. These guys don't want to play with him anymore. He's alienated all his teammates. These guys can just go play ball and not be bothered. But what happens in 5 games? What happens if he doesn't get dealt? There is this universe where you say, okay, I want Bam to be able to take this team over and have it be his. And that's happening right now. We're running our offense through Tyler Hero. We like our young guys. Ware looks good. Jovic is playing better. Hawkins is a decent young player. Like, you have a core here that you can start to build with.
Agreed.
Butler disturbs it. Butler bothers it. So you talk about wanting to develop and move forward with the understanding you're going to have salary flexibility when Butler's off the books. Like, maybe it's better for your overall organization to just say goodbye to him with his money and buy him out all that cash. Like, that's what I'm kind of talking about. Butler's acting in a way here, Joe, where everything has got to be considered if you're the Miami Heat. And by the way, taking a bad contract back for him shouldn't be on their radar. They're better off buying him out than taking back a Bradley Beal, having to pay him the rest of the year, and then 2 more years at $55 and $57
million. Ooh. Gotcha on that one. Hey, before I let you go, before the big trade deadline, you expect any big moves to be made? I know everybody's looking, obviously, to add a piece or two if they think they have a chance in these playoffs.
You know, I think we're going to get a little bit of a bottleneck, because I think people are going to wait to see what happens with Butler. Not because Butler's so in demand, but because you've seen some of these 3, 4, and 5 team proposed iterations out there that people have put together on the internet. And teams like the Bucks, who would want a Zach LaVine, could potentially be in the mix there. So, like, there's guys that are going to be available. I think Chicago's going to be an active team. I think you should see LaVine and Nikola Vucevic both go. Watch what the Warriors do, because the Warriors have really struggled here after a hot start. And I don't know that this team has done enough that they should be adding to this group around Curry, but I think they're going to be a team to watch, especially with Nikola Vucevic. And then, listen, I think you have to keep a close eye on the Lakers as well. At 26-18, it's fair to believe that they're one more meaningful player away from being able to go do something. The problem is, who's that meaningful player, and is that guy going to be available? We're going to see moves around the margins, Joe. You know, the Knicks are probably will do something with the Mitchell Robinson contract to try to shore up their bench a little bit. You could see a potential Boston move for a lower contract guy to be able to shore up that bench. I think that's something that's interesting. Dallas and teams like Dallas and Houston probably stay the same. Memphis, if they see the opportunity for big upgrade, will do something. I don't think OKC does anything major. I think you're going to get a quiet deadline here. I don't think we're going to see any blockbusters, mostly because this particular CBA just makes it a whole lot harder to be able to make deals where teams, this whole thing of not being able to take on more money being in the first apron isn't something I think has got to be fixed in the next CBA, because I think it's become very hard for teams to be able to go ahead and make deals to improve rosters.
Gels, this has been great stuff, man. Really appreciate your thoughts on what we're going through with the Jimmy Butler thing and another suspension yesterday walking out. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Thank you so much, bud. I appreciate it.
So, always my pleasure. Call anytime, pal. Right. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Wow. Okay, here we go. Can you imagine that? That's a lot of money to eat, man. I like eating. Jimmy wins, though, no matter what, man. Jimmy wins. Can you imagine that? Oh, gosh. I don't think Mickey and Nick and the family want to eat that much money, huh? Yeah. Development of young guys and have him around miserable. Oh, God. I want to tell you about a couple of guys that aren't miserable. Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah, partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation, the same partners who handle your case from start to finish, and more than 30 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results, small enough just to call you back. See, they think the personal touch is important. When you go through an injury, and you pick a law firm, and you see that face on that TV commercial, they're all over, and you're going, that's a guy, man, I like that guy. I want that guy to represent me. And then you find out, wait a second, he gave me a new lawyer in there, man. I'm seeing that's not who I thought I was getting. It's nice to know that you're going to be dealing with Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah. There are no other attorneys. It's those guys. Those are the ones that are going to handle your case from start to finish and call you back. Hey, you're going through this, man, this injury. Slip and fall, automobile accident, and you're hurting, man, and you want to know, you want an update, and you don't get it, man, that's like, wow, I must not be that important, even though I picked this group. Well, you go with Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah, you don't have to worry about any of that. Hey, I'm telling you right now, go to CohenandJudah.com, find out what people are saying about these guys. 866-324-7333, that's 866-FAIR-FEE, and remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work, you hire them to do.
Crowder, our friend Clay Ferrero is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and at toyotaofhollywood.com. Clay Ferrero, of course, sports anchor and reporter at WPLG Local 10 right here in Miami. Crowder is in Orlando for the Pro Bowl games, and Clay is with us now. Hello, Clay.
Hello. Can I pile on a little bit?
Please.
Especially down here, how can you not do In the Air tonight?
Right. Like if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of Phil Collins songs, especially for the Miami market, you're not going to not put In the Air tonight as number one.
Yeah. Yeah. That is gross ineptitude.
Yeah. Jimmy, sorry. That is gross ineptitude. Go ahead. You can respond to Clay, Jimmy. No holds barred. Take the gloves off, Jimmy.
No, I agree. I could have played that one or Sosudio.
Well, there you go. Jimmy's fighting back with all he can muster.
I'm not gonna lie. I had low expectations, but dang.
No, you know what, though? I appreciate a man who can admit when he's wrong. And he's wrong. That's like, true. If we're celebrating Phil Collins' birthday, Easy Lover is not up for debate. It's not on the list. You got to go Susudio, In the Air Tonight, Billy Don't Lose That Number.
I Don't Care Anymore.
I Don't Care Anymore.
In the air tonight, I've said it before, when there was a veteran thing where the vets get to pick the music for the, like, during the games, pregame, and Zach Thomas, he just always said every time they asked him, play In the Air Tonight. That's it. That's his only, he was only request the entire time.
Hurricanes in the late 80s? They still use it nowadays, but in the late 80s, that was the jam.
And the only time I ever saw Zach get out of pregame mode was when the baseline hit. He'd do the air drums for a couple seconds, and then he'd lock back in.
A la Mike Tyson, right?
Yes, from The Hangover. Yeah, it's a great scene. Yeah, it's a great scene. Yeah. Today, on this day, as long as we're talking about birthdays, I'm going to get to Jimmy Butler stuff with Clay here in a sec. On this day in 2009, the movie Taken premiered in theaters. And I will hold that up against any popcorn movie that you could throw at me. Like, that's a movie you sit down with a bucket of popcorn. Taken is one of the best all-time movies for just great action entertainment. Clay Ferreiro, agree or disagree?
I agree, and I know that's not what people come here for. Like, that, whenever I come on your show, I think people are expecting us to disagree about a lot of stuff, and I feel like we're off to a terrible start today.
Right, we're agreeing on everything.
But Clay, both of us as girl dads, would you let her ass leave the house ever again? Because there was a Taken 2 and 3 and 4. Get your ass in the bed.
It's so true. Like, we've had a hard time explaining because our kids have really gotten into, especially over the holiday season, the Home Alone movies. And it's like, come on, man. Seriously? Like, at some point, you got to just remember where the kid is. It's not.
Start there. Just know where the kid is.
Kevin! Get your ass in the car, Kevin!
That's the one kid you should make sure you don't lose again. DCF got to come in at some point, right?
Are you at some point, you would imagine? Are you surprised Jimmy Butler is still, it's 4:35 right now, January 30th. Are you surprised Jimmy Butler is still a member of the Miami Heat? And does that speak to a lack of a market for him?
Well, no, I'm not surprised because, when we talked about this on the show before, to answer your second question, yes, it does speak to the lack of a market for him. There's only one team that wants to trade for him and give him a contract extension. And the only reason they want to is because they're trying to get rid of another bad contract. I mean, that's where we're at. If Phoenix could unload the Bradley Beal contract, this would be done by now. But if Phoenix didn't have the Bradley Beal contract, I'm not 100% sure that they would be trying to cobble together other better contracts to make it work. So, yeah, there is a lack of a market for Jimmy Butler. I think there's especially a lack of a market for anybody who wants to give him the contract extension that he's looking for. And I've said this from the beginning. Why, if you're the Miami Heat, why would you take on bad money rather than just sending Jimmy Butler home? Why would you do anything that would hurt your long-term flexibility just to take on another bad contract? So I'm not surprised, but yeah, I think it is directly because of the lack of a market.
And to that point about Jimmy's, market value and all, was it mismanaged by Pat and Mickey and Andy that now we're sitting here in the situation we're in? Like, should they have seen the tea leaves or whatever and tried to do this earlier?
No, I think if you mean like in a previous season, maybe. I don't think that anybody was overly willing to trade for Jimmy Butler even before this season started. I think this is where we're at. He is an older player who played for Tom Thibodeau, has a lot of minutes on him. Yes, man, when he was in his prime and played in the biggest moments on the biggest stages, he was lethal. He was so great. And yet, Father Time comes for us all. And so, look, if you want to sell me on maybe they should have traded him last year, I guess I can listen to that. And yet at the same time, it was a team coming off a run to the NBA Finals. And the only time I think that they knew that they weren't going to make another run was after Butler got hurt again. At that point, you know, I think the trade deadline had come and gone. And so, you know, I just think that they played it out as long as they could. The one thing that would have been mismanagement would have been if they had given him the contract extension he wanted, and they didn't. So, yeah, it's gotten ugly, but the second they, you know, it's either going to get ugly or it's going to get really ugly for your franchise because you overpay a player that's, you know, shouldn't be making that much money.
Play it out for us a little bit here. We had Zach Gelbon yesterday, and he said, I don't care if you add Jimmy Butler to the Suns. They're not winning a championship. Add Jimmy Butler to the Suns, and they are what?
I mean, I think there's probably something to that. I think especially when you look around the landscape of the Western Conference and you look at just how good Oklahoma City appears to be, you know, and then, hey, I know Denver's had their ups and downs, but they still got that guy, you know, I think it's really difficult to look at them and say immediately they're going to be a contender. Now, I do think that Jimmy Butler is a much better fit with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant than Bradley Beal is. I never understood that deal. I never understood that fit there. And yet, I think because Bradley Beal's value has gone so far down that, you know, they're just stuck. And I don't think that you're going to be able to cobble together enough supporting cast pieces to add to that roster, even if you don't get Jimmy Butler.
And I really do believe this is post Jimmy Butler. I don't think he wears a Heat jersey again. What's the rest of this year, Clay? Is it let's see what the young guys have. Are they going to be around 500 in the play-in, you know, maybe in the play-in tournament? Is that what our ceiling should be for this team post Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. And I think you have to be okay with that unless somebody decides to call and, you know, offer you something of value in return. I have a really hard time seeing Miami put something together that can be competitive for De'Aaron Fox. Not unless you find out that Sacramento is in love with Kalel Ware and then you're willing to give him up. And that's a completely different discussion, which I don't think the Heat are willing to take on right now. But
yeah, that, you know, makes me a little, it gives me a little angst. You're just saying that and putting that out in the universe.
But I think that's what you would have to give up at this point to try to make any sort of a move that could improve this roster to contender status, you know, especially once it became increasingly clear that Jimmy Butler engaged and healthy wasn't going to be a part of this team moving forward. So, no, and I think you're okay with that. I think that it's okay to lean into youth. It's okay to lean into some growing pains with Kalel Ware, and there are going to be some. You know, I think you're starting to see like what happens a little bit when he gets on the other team's scouting report, but then he's still got so much ability that he's still able to do some things. So that's okay. I think Heat fans would fully understand that and, you know, get through this year and see where you're at the end of this year. And then look, next year, I understand why the Heat are trying to maintain flexibility for 2026. I don't know that Luka Doncic is going to be available. I think there's been too many times where we've kind of, you know, put all the eggs in the basket of a superstar or two superstars, and then it doesn't happen. But I don't think that takes away from the idea that it's time for a youth movement. It's time to move on from Jimmy Butler. It's time to see what you've got with this Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, plus whoever else core. And taking on a bad contract is not going to help you do that.
Does Jimmy Butler look small to you in all of this now?
I think we've always known like how maniacally competitive and, for lack of a better term, petty. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think petty can sometimes be good because it gives you like this us or me against the world mentality. What I think, guys, I think it's one of two things. Either Jimmy lacks somebody in his corner that can tell him no and can tell him, you know, very openly what the market is, or he's just not listening. And I don't know which one that is, and we'll never know which one that is. But I think Jimmy Butler is the type of person, put it this way, you've heard a lot of comparisons to Michael Jordan. I think comparisons to Michael Jordan's competitiveness and his hard-headedness are very valid. Unfortunately for Jimmy Butler, he was never quite the player Michael Jordan was, you know?
Right, and, right, yeah. And I think neither, that's what neither was anyone, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's... Look, I think Michael Jordan was able to get away with being that way because he was Michael Jordan, and it made him great. It made him the best of all time. And so when you're Jimmy Butler and you need help. You're not that Michael didn't need help, but Jimmy is not Michael. And so when Jimmy tries to be Michael, especially, you know, when he's 35 years old and there's not the market out there for him, this is what you get. You know what it is, guys? Remember how great Terrell Owens was for so long and teams were willing to put up with his headache? And then his last year with the Cowboys, he was kind of just like a really, really good number two receiver at that point in his career that nobody wants to deal with you anymore. And I think that's kind of where we're at with Jimmy Butler.
And when D Wade left, went to Chicago and Cleveland, like, you know, he left, and him and Pat, you know, the story was they had a little tiff, you know, and Hawk always laughs that they prioritized Hassan Whiteside over Wade that year. But then they came back and said, the key's always under the mat. Is the key going to be under the mat for Jimmy, or there's no key when he picks that mat up?
No, because Dwayne Wade never quit on the franchise. You know, Dwayne Wade never walked out. And, you know, there's a lot of things that went on there. I think that was a situation where Dwayne Wade was a free agent. Dwayne Wade knew that he had more money waiting for him elsewhere and was just begging the Heat to meet him halfway. And, you know, look, Hawk's not wrong that they chose Whiteside over him at that point. And, you know, that's the ruthless nature of Pat Riley. But this is a different situation completely. This was not just the ruthless nature. It was also, man, this doesn't help us at all. There is nothing about this situation that if you give in to Jimmy Butler anymore. And by the way, to your point about your question about does this make Jimmy Butler look small? I think part of this too, guys, was that he were willing to give Jimmy Butler more leeway than maybe they'd given any other superstar as long as he was producing. And I think this gets back to the Terrell Owens stuff. People are willing to give you a little bit more leeway when you are that good. And then once you're not, they're not able to give it to you anymore. They're not willing to give it to you anymore. Well, with Dwayne Wade, I think it was a similar thing but it was only financial, and Dwayne just left for more money. I don't think anybody faulted him for that here. Maybe not anybody, but I think most people understand where they were coming from, Dwayne Wade's side. But I think with this, man, you got up and left in the middle of a practice. There's a lot of other stuff that's been rumored, reported, and stuff that, man, that key's gone, and that key ain't coming back.
Let me just give you the latest, because I'm looking at tweets from Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald. He says, per source, Phoenix has remained the most aggressive Butler suitor. There isn't a lot out there for the Heat, which is steadfast against taking Beal contract. Per Kevin O'Connor, though the Warriors inquired on Butler, Curry and Kerr have concerns about Butler's fit in the Warriors locker room and thus have indecision about moving forward. And then Barry Jackson follows it up just a few minutes ago with, the Heat remains determined to trade him, but if they cannot, if no team takes Beal and the other offers are garbage, then A, Butler can opt in and the Heat would have an easier time trading him in July. B, Butler can opt out and the Heat could assist on a sign and trade if it helps them. C, yeah, he could simply sign elsewhere and the Heat would have $13 million in space or a $14 million exception plus a $5.1 million biannual exception. I mean, there's not a ton of plays for them. And then Barry Jackson writes, with regard to option C below, Heat cap space this summer would grow from $13 million to $26 million if the NBA suspends Terry Rozier. We know what's going on there today, or $39 million if Rozier is banished from the NBA. And Barry says, important to note that Rozier has not been charged with anything, and the NBA investigation found nothing. Feds are investigating. It's very interesting to me. I mean, it is such slim pickings for the Heat and Jimmy Butler and this contract that I don't, as much as I was convinced he was going to be gone before the trade deadline, I mean, it seems like there's almost a real shot that he won't be.
Well, no, and all of those options that Barry laid out, no, they don't sound great, but they're all better than taking on a bad contract to hurt your future flexibility. That's what the Heat have been dealing with from the beginning with this thing. And yep. So when Barry Jackson says garbage offers, that doesn't mean, oh, they don't like the player they're getting in return. No, it means they don't want to take on other teams' bad contracts that hurt their future flexibility. They would rather get nothing, and I think they're right.
Yeah, very interesting to me.
And this, we're about to reset. Like, Pat, I trust Pat, but now we're about to redo it. We had Shaq Wade, then we had the Big Three, then we had Jimmy Bam. We're about to reset this thing, and we're on that path right now, right? It seems like that with waiting for 2026.
Yeah, yes, unless you're able to make some sort of a win-now move, which, I mean, it's really hard to see one at this point. But
it's the Luka thing, yes, in 2026. But like you mentioned earlier, Clay, they've gotten burned before. They got burned with Giannis.
Yes.
They were getting ready to make a play at Giannis, and he signed an extension. And I have a feeling they're going to get burned on Luka.
I tend to agree with you, too. And so I would
say we're agreeing on everything today, Clay.